Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask your blessings today on this meeting, and we ask, Lord, that you reach out and touch souls with this. Prepare your people, Lord, for the things that are coming, especially the persecutions and attacks from the deep state. And thank you, Lord, for all you're doing, Lord, because you're working all things together for our good, and we know it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to continue with Death Separates the Fleshly from the Spiritual. This is number 8. And I'm going to first share with you a revelation given to Claire Pinar. It's called There's a Red Moon Rising. Okay. And she says back on 5/31/21, I had dozed off in the afternoon while the kids were playing outside, and I dreamed God wanted me to write David Eales an email. It was about a red moon rising. Well, as we have and will see, this means that persecution, blood of the church is rising. We'll explain this more as we go. I know that they've been saying peace and safety, but we're not quite there. And she said, I woke up with a start, and I only just now remembered it. And when I told Rion about it, he said I ought to send it to David now. So let me just say the blood red moon represents the church in crucifixion. The position of the woman, the church, in Revelation 12 is standing upon the moon. And moon is like 60-fold glory, you know. And this is kind of where it starts at the beginning of the tribulation period, you know. The moon is dead, and it only reflects the light of the sun, S-U-N, / S-O-N, if you catch what I mean, which is the position of the church. Now, the position is what is given by Christ by faith. It's not the manifestation, meaning she has not arrived at this, right? Being covered in blood represents the crucified life that Jesus demanded of his disciples. We're both covered in his blood, but also there's going to be blood letting in the church. And, you know, the enemy's guilty of blood because they cause people in the church to fall away and they persecute them and so on and so forth. When judgment begins in the house of God, it will bring a lot of persecution. The world will be responsible for the blood of the church. And that's one reason all this judgment falls on the world and the worldly church and the faction, is because they're guilty of the blood. So many in apostasy will repent during this time of judgment, and leave their false organized religions and their cults. And a revival will come, a great revival. And as the lukewarm are forced to choose between discipleship and reprobation. Amen. Claire said, I asked God for a word by faith at random and received this. Touch not mine anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Now, a lot of people are really misinformed about this text and who it's talking about, these prophets, okay? We'll look at that in just a second. But 1 Chronicles 16:22, we're going to read parts of 10 through 35. of the context. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Seeking his face, of course, is his face in the mirror. To bring you into his image, right? Remember this marvelous work that he hath done, his wonders and judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. So he's talking about the church here, Jacob, right? In the New Testament, Jacob or Israel is the church. They are a type and shadow of the church. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all of the earth. Okay. Verse 15. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan. So he's talking about giving the church their promised land. They will be standing on the promises of God, right? The lot of your inheritance. And when you were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and sojourners in it, and they went about from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Who is them here? Ah, it's the church. It is Israel he's talking about all through this text. Okay. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Why is he calling the church prophets? Well, you can notice in the context here that he is speaking of this body of people, not just what we today would call the prophets. So when God says, do my prophets no harm, he is saying that the people of God who are here among the nations are his prophets to the nations. How is that so? Well, they foretell the nations of God's coming kingdom and his judgments. As you know and have experienced, when you go out and you speak the word of God to the lost and they hear what you say, they are listening to the prophets because you are voicing the prophets, right? You are telling them of things to come. You are telling them of the future. You are telling them of the judgments. You're warning them. You are, in a spiritual way, the prophets. So, the subject here is telling the nations to not harm his people. That's what he's talking about in the context. I'm going to go down to verse 25. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. Yes, and that those idols are demons, and they drive the nations against the people of God. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. So he's talking about all of the earth, all of the world, right? The world is established that it cannot be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. There's his prophet saying among the nations, let the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar. Well, this is a problem between the idols and the true God. They have a different spirit. The sea in Revelation is the lost peoples, tribes, nations, and tongues, right? And why are they roaring? They're roaring because they are against the people of God. and the fullness thereof. Let the field exult in all that is therein. Well, the field is the world, and the dirt is where God has planted us, and he's planted us in the midst of this dirt that's all around us, right? In verse 33, then shall the trees of the wood sing for joy before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. And where does judgment begin? At the house of God. And who does he use? The wicked. He uses. Now that's before, of course, he brings destruction to the wicked. First, he uses, this is his M.O. constantly all through the Bible. He uses the wicked. He raises them up even to be stronger than his people and to come against his people, to bring them to their cross. And if they repent, well, God turns things around. But if not, well, there is more severe judgment coming. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the nations, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. So this is the whole point of turning God's people away from sin, using the wicked nations, and then bringing judgment on the nations. The next revelation we got from Garrett Crawford on 6/17/21, and we called it the Omen of the Blood Red Moon. It's very interesting how these come. These people don't talk to one another about their revelations, you know. They just all come together. Let you know it's a confirmation from the Lord. You know, I believe I had an omen dream. An omen is a sign of something to come. Okay. I dreamed it was nighttime, and I was on the outskirts of a city. And I believe that this city probably has a double meaning. There's the city that represents worldwide Babylon in the book of Revelation, and the harlot mother church. Garrett here represents those who are sanctified from the world and its ways, being on the outskirts of the city. And this could also be local to Garrett, who represents those who are not respected by the deep state Babylonian beast. In other words, our local beast, right? And the apostate religious harlot. So you got a double meaning here. It's true for you here. It's true for you there. It's true for people everywhere. This is the way God is dealing with his people. And he goes on to say, a blood red moon appeared in the sky, and it caught everyone's attention. Well, the blood moon represents the judgments of persecution against the house of God, which will get everyone's attention. The world will be responsible for the blood of the church or the blood of the saints. And many in apostasy will repent and leave their false organized religions, and great revival will follow as the lukewarm are forced to choose between discipleship or reprobation. Amen. That's just history. It's history repeated. Then the blood moon started to move in a clockwise motion in the sky. Well, clockwise represents the story as it moves into the future. And we know tribulation is in the future. It was moving in this circular pattern. The circuit in which it moved was pretty large. Yeah, it's a large circuit. It's worldwide. Okay. Then, when the moon hit at 12 o'clock position in the sky, it dropped straight down directly to the 6 o'clock position. I think that this 12 here probably represents the restoration of the true church government and leadership through death, burial, and resurrection of the crucified life. And one reason I say that is because of what he says now. He says, but it had this yellow cord attached to the top of it. And he has a little picture here of this with the yellow cord up sticking up into space, so to speak. since the yellow cord is hanging from the sky, we could say it's under heavenly control. It also could represent the heavenly condition of sonship, like S-U-N/S-O-N, sonship, that Jesus placed on discipleship. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. In other words, there are strings attached. Strings attached, like this picture here, to discipleship. Jesus said, if you don't do this, you can't be my disciple. There are strings attached to discipleship. And get this. I said I thought it would be, this was the beginning of a death, burial, and resurrection. He says, and it bounced back up like it was a bungee cord. And I believe this implies resurrection after the death of the falling, right? Then it continued to move in a clockwise pattern. So once again, you know, there's a restoration to minister here. But now it's after the death, burial, and resurrection, and it's going to be a much higher ministry order, obviously. And when the man-child returns, he will establish the original church government again through the fivefold man-child ministry. And Garrett said, I saw this whole sequence twice. Well, two witnesses are seen here. And when Joseph explained a doubling of a dream, and the dreams weren't exactly the same, but they meant the same thing, okay? When he explained this, he said it was to prove that it would come to pass. Okay? There was a policeman nearby, and he scoffed at the sign. Well, a lot of liberals do that. They scoff at the signs. They don't believe it's the end times because they don't want it to believe it to believe it's the end times. And it may make them responsible to get right with God, and they're thinking they'll do it somewhere down the road, you know. Sonship is a sign of the presence of Jesus. When somebody manifests sonship, that's manifesting Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? And Jesus also is declared to be a sign in Isaiah, right? So those who enforce the law, that's this policeman, right, are under the law and do not believe, just like the Pharisees of Jesus' day. They enforced the law, but they didn't believe. And it's the same today. Garrett went on, he said, people have been saying it's the end time for years. I said, yes, but this is clearly a sign no one can deny. They won't be able to deny this death, burial, and resurrection of Christ among the people. They'll be doing signs and wonders and miracles. How can you deny it, right? Says Bill, signs and wonders are going to be coming forth from these people who are manifesting sonship. And the resurrection life of the man-child and the bride will be a witness to the whole world. Now, I'm not saying those who are the moon are sonship, but they're on the road to manifesting sonship. That's different. Okay? Where everybody that's 60-fold is headed towards 100-fold, right? They're on the road. They're being faithful. The moon went down and it came back up. Guess what you get when you get resurrection life? That's going to sonship, right? Amen. So, it was a very real and stirring thing to behold in the dream. And I knew God was saying the end times are here. And then Garrett, of course, we have this on his page here, a picture of the moon and its actions and its dip, right? And so now we've got another one here. this is Marie Kelton, 6/14/21. And we called it Judgment on America for the Blood of the Innocents. Uh-huh. Wow. Wonderful how God puts all these together. During the morning prayer meeting, when David was talking about how the vaccines killed the unborn children, I was thinking to myself about how black people have the highest abortion rate. Well, I'm thinking that this is a symbol of those walking in darkness. Now, we don't think there's anything different between black people and white people. We are to know no man after the flesh. We're talking about symbolism here. So this is a symbol of those walking in darkness who abort the fruit of Christ in them by rebelling against the Word of God. And then Marie went on to say, "The Lord gave me an open vision. I saw him standing over the United States of America, and it was covered in blood. And he stooped down and picked up the blood and let it run through his hands. He did this gesture 3 times. Well, America is being judged for all of her evil in killing innocent babies, both unborn and born in the satanic ritual abuse and the sex slavery trade and all these things, abusing the children. And also America is guilty of the blood of those who lost their lives in their ignorance to the depopulation vaccine. And I might also add that the faction is killing people, both spiritually and physically. They're guilty of the blood." Okay, so the thought that came to me was the blood of the innocents. Okay, Jeremiah 2:34-35. "Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the innocent poor. Thou didst not find them breaking in, but it is because of all these things. Yet thou saidst, I am innocent. Surely his anger is turned away from me. Behold, I will enter into judgment with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. So they're guilty of the blood of innocence. And they say they have not sinned." We know this for a fact. That's exactly what they do. They proclaim their self-righteousness and that they're innocent, even though they've gone out there and slandered and turned souls away from the truth and killed them spiritually with those same demons and so on. The verse I got for this by faith at random was Esther 9:31. I landed on the words, "their cry." Esther 9:31. "To confirm these days of Purim in their appointed times, according as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them, and as they had ordained for themselves and for their seed in the matter of fastings and their cry." Well, you know, today we still have a Purim, which is very close to the Passover, right? But guess what? Everybody doesn't partake in it because they don't believe in it. Same thing with the Passover. They don't believe. They haven't eaten all of the lamb in order to have faith to believe that they have a Passover lamb. So, you see, there are people out there that do believe and will escape, and there are people who don't believe and will not escape. And I thought of the scripture that talks about how the blood of the innocent cries out to God. In Revelation 6:10, "And they cried with a great voice, saying, How long, O Master? the holy and true? Dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Yes. So, the earth is guilty of the blood. The wicked are guilty of the blood. The faction is guilty of the blood. And, of course, they won't get away with it, because even though they crucify God's people, they are the next to fall. The crucifixion is good from God's point of view, and the crucifixion is good from our point of view, but they are the next to fall. Okay, this next one was given to Eve Brast on 6/17/21. The righteous call down judgment upon the wicked. You see, that's what comes next. I dreamed that I was in a large auditorium. I was standing midway back down the center aisle. There was an evil, factious man up on the stage, sitting in a chair of authority. He was like a mob boss, and had many underlings working for him to do his dirty work. Yes, he does. He had hired another evil man dressed in all black to defile and spiritually destroy my son Elijah by exposing him to pornographic materials. All right, well, both the satanic factions in the church and government have been given over to fornication of all kinds. This is obvious. And of course, they're passing their sins on to their seed. I had an open vision of this occurrence in the dream. And she has a note here. She said, the factious in the church and deep state want to kill our fruit, that is Christ in us, both physically and spiritually. They want to kill as many Christians in the Southeast Bible Belt as they can with this new Delta COVID variant strain. Let me say that this may be a total fake thing. I mean, they've never been able to identify COVID-19 and couldn't give you a sample of it. Yeah, now they won't be able to give you a sample of this either. You know, so it might be totally fake to cause people to fear and to take the vaccines. Okay. Yeah. So the vaccines aren't fake. They're murderous. And they're being put out there by the murderous faction, deep state, and the murderous faction, slander group, are putting out the same kind of garbage to kill people. They want to stomp out the spirit of Elijah, which is the spirit of John the Baptist. Of course, we know that from Jesus' words. That is preaching repentance, and will usher in the great revival during the man-child's ministry of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Yes, amen. So, end of her note. She said, I became angry about this in the dream and ran up onto the stage and told him that I was going to tell everyone what he had done. Oh, D-class. He was caught off guard because he didn't think I would know or find out. And she has another note here. The Lord always reveals to his servants what the plans of the wicked are, so that we can pray against it and do spiritual warfare and also warn the people. Amen. And Eve said, I began shouting out to everyone who would listen about what had been done to my son by the evil, factious man and his organization. Many people began to leave the auditorium in droves once the evil had been revealed. And she has another note. Much of the deep state evil is being revealed to the world now, and many are awakening to the truth, and so it will be with the church faction. And he says, this evil, factious man was so angry about the exposure that he hired a female assassin dressed in all black leather to hunt me down and assassinate me. Well, this obviously, from what we know, has both literal and spiritual connotations, in that the assassination this person has been doing against her is character assassination. And this has literally happened. We know it from witnesses. So, going on. But the Lord warned me in a vision in the dream about the assassination plot. And I began to make my way over to a stairwell that led up to a higher floor in the building. Wow, that's good. That's abiding in Christ in heavenly places. It protects us from the evil plans of the enemy to destroy us, right? Amen. Psalm 6:8. Look not upon me because I am swarthy, because the sun has scorched me. My mother's sons were incensed against me. It's always been this way. It's always been this way. The wicked among the people of God have persecuted those who are most running after God, like Song of Solomon. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest thy flock, where thou makest it to rest at noon. Yes, the Lord has a flock. And it's outside the flocks of his companions. For why should I be as one that is veiled beside the flocks of thy companions? In other words, the denominations. They're not the part of the Lord's flock. They're on the side of the Lord's flock. And if thou knowest not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids besides the shepherd's tents. So they came out of the shepherd's tents. This is a good thing. All of the disciples came out of the shepherd's tents to follow Jesus. Yes, and they were called the bride by John the Baptist. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. The bride comes out of the shepherd's tents. I'm just going to tell you right now. Because that's a bunch of apostasy, and they want to keep pouring it into your heart as long as you sit there. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I said to myself, I have to warn my mother-in-law that this evil man is trying to kill us both. Because once the evil, factious man saw that I was going to warn my mother-in-law, he told the assassin to kill both of us. And she has a note here. The mother-in-law represents the apostate church that is under the law with their religious doctrines. The evil man represents the apostate religious leaders who are born to the harlot church mother. There you go. And my thought, too, here is being under law to the Old Testament or to false religious leaders separates us from Christ. Galatians 5:4. You are severed from Christ, ye who would be justified by the law. You are fallen away from grace. When people, Christians, follow these cult leaders, they're not following Christ. You can't do both. You'll know them by their fruitlessness, you know. You'll know them because of the evil that they plot and scheme to do. And if you don't know them, it's because those demons are in you too. That's the way it works. Galatians 4:21-31 says, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the handmaid and one by the free woman. Do you think it's the same today? Absolutely, it has to be. The things that have been are the things that shall be. Howbeit, the son of the handmaid is born after the flesh, but the son by the free woman is born through promise. Which things contain an allegory? For these women are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, bearing children unto bondage, which is Hagar. Wow, now he's talking about the Jews at Sinai. Those under the law at Sinai are, in the New Testament, Hagarites. Now, this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to the Jerusalem that now is, for she is in bondage with her children. Yes, of course, Paul knew that the Jerusalem, the physical Jerusalem there, was in total bondage to the law. And they are not sons of the free woman, because they're not free. And it's the same with the dead religions. They're not free. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, which is our mother. We're born from above, you see. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For more are the children of the desolate than of her that hath the husband. Well, it's true. Look how many people don't follow after Jesus, but they follow after these cultish religions that claim Christianity. More of the children of the desolate than of her that hath the husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that's born after the Spirit, so also it is now. Howbeit, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the handmaid and her son, for the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. That's a warning. Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of the handmaid, but of the free woman. If you follow the Christ out of the sheepfold, which, you know, John chapter 10 tells us all about it. Jesus told us all about it. If you follow Jesus out of the sheepfold and follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, then you're not of the handmaid. You're of the free woman. I found my mother-in-law in the stairwell. She had bad knees and couldn't walk very well. Well, that's the way it is with all apostates, right? She was hobbling, trying to get up the stairs to safety with me, as I was telling her of the assassination plot to kill us. Many of our brethren who are elect of God will come out of the faction and the apostate church when God opens their eyes to the danger of sinful actions and the false religious doctrines that have hindered their walk with the Lord. We made it into an inner room, and my mother-in-law went and stood against the wall and buried her face in her hands. And she says, I believe this represents the sanctification, the wall, and repentance of the elect that are currently caught up in the apostate religious system. Amen. I agree. I knew that the assassin was closing in on us fast. I fell to my knees and I cried, Lord, what do I do? The assassin will surely find us soon. I heard the voice of the Lord say, quote, Command this building to fall on them and crush them all. Unquote. Well, Genesis 6 and 3 she gives, and the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he also is flesh. And what did God do? He destroyed mankind, except for those in the ark, right? Yeah, so don't say God won't do this, and don't say his prophets won't prophesy it. Well, we've had many dreams and prophetic words about the Capitol falling upon the factious house and crushing them And I would say they were very true. And this, is, of course, is a parallel to the church faction being crushed, right? Amen. Remember how many times this has been proven to be a parallel. And then I felt this tremendous power and rushing wind surge throughout me, and I had a vision of Samson between the pillars of the Philistine temple. Praise the Lord. Yep, Samson was one of them. He was a prophet that God used to take down the Philistines. For a split second, I was terrified that the building would fall on me and my mother-in-law and crush us all, along with all of the wicked. But then a faith and a courage filled me that I had never had before, and I was no longer afraid. So I gave over my spirit into the hands of the Father and shouted with the power of God that shook the whole building and reverberated through all the sounding atmosphere. I command this building to fall upon them and to crush all the wicked in Jesus' name, she said. And she gives this text in Judges 16:23-30. And the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, Our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. Oh, that's a bad thing for you, though. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, Our God hath delivered into our hand our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, who has slain many of us. Well, no, he had actually just delivered them into the hand of Samson's God, as we know the story, right? And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they set him between the pillars, as you know, and down in 27. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which the house rested, and leaned upon them, and one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all of his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead that he slew in his death were more than they that he slew in his life. Wow. And she says, we must lose our lives to gain the saving power of the cross of Christ. Amen. The entire building, which was made of modern steel and glass, morphed into giant marble blocks and pillars that had blood-red veins running all through the marble. This reminds me of the revelations above about the blood moons of judgment and crucifixion, right? So God's going to judge the wicked like Samson did. It began to shake and tremble violently as it collapsed into rubble and dust all around me, crushing all the wicked in the building and killing the assassin that had been right at the door. Isaiah 41:13-17. For I, Lord my thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and you men of Israel. I will help thee, says the Lord, and thy Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I have made thee to be a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, mountains are kingdoms, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and thou shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. When I first read this, I thought about Apostle Bolivar, who I knew many, many years ago, who had tremendous dreams. Angels came to him and ministered to him and sang him songs like the Bible is the Word of God and started giving him dreams about the Bible. It was tremendous. And once he was in one of his dreams, he was running from the wicked, and they chased him into a corner. And the anointing came upon him, and he looked at them, and he said, Die in the name of Jesus. And they all fell dead, and he was saved. God can speak judgments through people that we individually have no right to command. We have no right to judge. But God can judge through the people who are sanctified. And he does it. Be in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is made full. God can choose people like that to bring about the end of a faction. We have been speaking the end of the faction in in the government, in the world, these people who are trying to keep in bondage this country. And when we speak revelations like this, we are speaking the end of the faction in the church and in the government. These are prophetic words, and they are coming to pass. She said, But I and my mother-in-law were supernaturally lifted above all the destruction and piles of stone and rubble that was not a there was not a scratch on us. I was amazed by this as I woke up. And she got Psalm 91, 9 through 15. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee. Are you in the secret place of the Most High, which is abiding in Jesus Christ? He said, There shall no evil befall thee. Don't fear evil if you're walking with the Lord. Not if you're stubborn rebellion. You can fear evil then. But if you're walking with the Lord in obedience, denying your old flesh and serving him, you can be sure that no evil shall befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. There you go. Think about the plague. Some people are ignorant. Although they're following the Lord in their ignorance, they'll probably escape this plague, even the vaccine, which they ignorantly take. Because they don't know any better. But, you know, we all grow from little to big, right? And we're all somewhere in between those two extremes. And God loves his children, and he protects them if they're innocent. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you're doing in willful disobedience, you can be sure you will be judged. If you're rebelling against God, be sure you know. Hebrews 10:26. You know, if a person sins willfully, there's no sacrifice for sins. A certain, fearful expectation of judgment. That's what he says. For he will give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Yes, the angels of God will protect the person who is abiding in Christ. How do we abide in Christ, the secret place of the Most High? First and foremost, you abide in Christ by your faith that he took away your sins and he gave you his life in the place. That's how you do it, because that's where power comes from, God. When you believe and you're sanctified through your faith that Jesus nailed your sins on that cross and he gave you his life and you don't have to walk in sin anymore because you were made free by the blood of the Lamb. You're justified through faith. You need to be justified through faith in order to have God's blessings. Right? Nothing is withheld from you if you're justified by faith. And faith comes, first you repent. If it's wrong, it's wrong, and you know it's wrong, turn against it. Confess it to God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. First you confess your sins. Then you walk by faith in the justification that was given to you through Jesus Christ, that you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. And you behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. You see, you walk and you talk your faith. And that's how power from God comes to you to deliver you. Don't forget that. So, the angels are given charge over you to keep you in all thy ways. And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Well, here was a whole building falling on them. And who was it that was going to escape? That's right. So, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. Now, people wouldn't think about doing that. That's just how strong your protection is when you abide in Christ. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. You know, stepping on an adder is a good way to get bit. Stepping on a lion is a good way to get bit. And so, but God's saying his protection is just that strong. The Apostle Paul, you know, was had a viper latched onto his hand. And he just shook it off in the fire and kept on going. And all the natives there said, uh-oh, he's a goner. But when they noticed that he didn't fall down or even get sick, they said, he's a god. They knew how strong that poison was. Amen. And I'll tell you this, the poison from these vaccines, if you gain knowledge and understanding and decide to walk by faith in Jesus Christ, guess what? That poison will be made nothing to. Just remember that. Yes, we like to warn you, we want to warn you that this is death. They're attempting to depopulate, especially the Southeast, as was mentioned here and in previous revelations that we shared. Which is Christians, which the communists in the deep state, the Satanists in the deep state, hate more than anybody on the face of the earth. You know, when Hillary and Obama created ISIS and even armed them to march through the Middle East over there, they wiped out whole cities of Christians. Whole cities. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to kill Christians. And you think they don't want to do it here? Why was Obama invading the country with so many Muslims? Muslims don't do anything when they're weak. They wait till they gain strength, and then you are forced to be a Muslim at the end of a sword. The young lion and the serpent shalt thou trample underfoot. I would say that that means trampling must means to take him out. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. It's good to be on high when there's a lion and an adder under your feet. Because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. Amen. Okay, praise be to God. Thank you, Father, so much for this enlightening revelation here. And thank you, Father, for keeping your people, delivering us from evil, and bringing down these evil factions who are out to destroy your people. All right. Good night, saints. God bless you.